Welcome to Leader with Pastor John Bailey. I am so glad you're with us today. Today you're going to be blessed. We have an incredible guest with us. His name is Pastor Kevin Ramsby. Probably the two testimonies that have been the most impactful in my life. One is Nikki Cruz. If you've ever heard of Nikki Cruz's testimony, you know it is so powerful. But equally as powerful and in a different way is Pastor Kevin Ramsby. And we're going to be talking about his testimony. But there's a purpose in the testimony. It's a testimony, but specifically for leaders, because as a pastor, he went through some grueling times, really difficult, spent a long time in the hospital. This testimony will really grip you. The times that I've heard it multiple times. Every time I listen to it, it has a powerful effect in my life. But here is how it affects the leaders, because many times we give our lives, we pour out to people, we love people, and then when we go through these really difficult times in life, and we have to forgive and still minister and walk through just through life with people, it can be difficult. And so we're going to be talking about Pastor Kevin, a very extreme case of what happened to him and then how he had to navigate through this. And I really believe it'll be meaningful to you. And if you know of a pastor leader that maybe has been through some difficult times, I want you to share this. You can subscribe with us. We really believe that this podcast will have a great effect for pastors and leaders. We don't play games here. We're all about, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe in that totally. But as we go through that process, sometimes we go through emotions that can be difficult, and today will be one of those days. So, Pastor Kevin, welcome with us today on Leader to Leader.
Thanks so much, Pastor John. It's a privilege to be here.
Yeah. Your ministry is called Fight to Forgive.
Yep.
Once we do the testimony, we talk about your testimony, we will understand what that term means, fighting to forgive. And forgiveness can be a fight at times.
I do. A lot of times people have said forgiveness is a choice. It's a process. The best word I've come to describe it is it's a fight.
Amen. And the enemy will always, particularly with leaders, will try to trap us in these places of unforgiveness, of holding grudges. And listen, it's only when we walk in the forgiveness and the love and the power of Christ that God can really use us in those situations. Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's get right into the story. You were alongside Pastor Tim Delina, working as an associate pastor in Detroit, inner city Detroit. I think if I remember the story correctly, it was an old XXX theater. You guys turned into a church. You're in one of the most difficult places in town. And you're pouring your life, Pastor Tim and yourself, pouring your life out to people in the neighborhood, most difficult places. And then somebody breaks into your house and you go through this devastating experience. And from there, I want to turn that over to you. Can you give us just a little bit of what the experience was on that night and what you walked through?
Yeah, Pastor Tim and I, again, we were pastoring. We lived in the same community we pastored. And actually, I lived one block behind Pastor Tim. So this was our neighborhood. And at 3 a.m, a man who basically had been incarcerated most of his life was out for about a year trying to reconnect with an estranged daughter who didn't want nothing to do with him, showed up in our neighborhood, went back to kind of how he dealt with his pain and rejection, which was turning to crack cocaine. And about 3 a.m, he had ran out of his drug of choice and made his way down the street, saw my house, and broke through a first floor window, climbed in armed with a largest kitchen knife you'd find in a knife block set and a large screwdriver. And I was sound asleep at 3 a.m, heard the glass break. And I mean, all I could do was when I heard it was get up, started running down the stairs, yelling as loud as I could, "This is my house, get out. This is my house, get out." And right at the bottom of the steps, the man had climbed all the way through, raced around the corner, and we literally met racing full speed at each other head on. And all I could do is launch myself from the second step to try to tackle him. And when I came and landed, grabbed hold of his shoulders, he had just enough time to lower the blade, and the first blade went into the abdomen, ripped upwards. And from there, a fight ensued, and it wasn't much of a fight. He just began stabbing me over and over again to the temple, all the way through the cheek, two times to the throat, to the chest, my hands, to the point I fell on the ground. And guy just jumped on top of me, straddled me, and just began just as many times as he could, as hard as he could, just continue stabbing me. From there, it was just a fight to survive, really.
Was it 29 times that you were stabbed?
Actually, was stabbed 37 times.
37 times
in total.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible. It's a miracle that you're alive.
Yeah, it really is. The doctors, when they came in after the some miracle moments that even allowed me to escape that house and get to the hospital. When I awakened a week later, that's exactly what the doctor said. They said, "What a miracle!" And I was, I don't feel like a miracle, but they kept saying how if one of so many different stab wounds was just a little bit off to the left, right, a little bit deeper, I would have been blind. It would have cut through the jugular. My whole chest was a big bruise from the chest stab to the chest. And I thought I was actually paralyzed because of the six stabs to the base of the neck and the spine area. And just a real miracle that that was rescued that night. And it's just a testimony really of God's faithfulness. And though I felt he was far from me in the moment, he was actually closer than I could have ever imagined.
That's so powerful. Hey, you've shared this before. Maybe if you would share, but you're laying on the floor there by the kitchen and literally just left to bleed to death. And what was it that inspired you to go, you know what, this is not the destiny of my life?
Yep. So I was praying my final prayers, I had one request of God initially was, God, just let me know that you see me. I didn't pray for healing, didn't pray for rescuing. I just wanted some type of sign that God saw that what I was going through right now, he saw it. Because if he wasn't surprised like I was okay. But didn't feel that in that moment. So I prayed my final prayers. And as I was praying my final prayers for my son, Noah, that he wouldn't blame God for what happened to me. My prayer was literally interrupted. I heard four words. It was, "They still need you." And when I heard the words, "They still need you," man, I went from just waiting to die, praying my final prayers, to figuring out I've got to live because my family needs me. And then come to find out there was a lot of other people that the Lord would just cross our paths with, that it's just been an incredible story of just how God's been able to take such a painful moment to now touch lives, to the point that both police officers that rescued me that night gave their hearts to the Lord, was able to marry one of them. It's just been amazing to see how God can take your darkest moments and greatest moments of betrayal, even sometimes that feeling like God's betrayed you, or whether it's someone else has betrayed you, that he can take those betrayal moments that you sense a betrayal and really redeem them for so much good.
Amen. You know, you mentioned this, but the whole understanding of the sovereignty of God, we don't always understand it. And there we are. And I don't know that I would say that God causes situations like this, but he certainly permits them. And in the middle of your distress of going, God, are you surprised by this? Well, we know he wasn't. But through the process, the great work that he's done, I know your ministry, we'll talk more about that in the second podcast of just how God is using you now. But God was using you in a sovereign way to produce something so powerful. And I really appreciate that. So you go through this, and I think that this is for the people that are watching today that are leaders. This is an extreme example. Somebody that's stabbed, 37 times, left for dead, and then still you have to forgive. And then you have to step up and go, well, now I'm going to go minister to drug addicts, to people that are broken, just like the guy that walked into the house. Can you maybe just describe a little bit for people that are listening in to go, that process of going, I know I need to forgive, But right now, it's very hard to forgive and move forward in the plan of God and ministry.
Yeah, and I echo exactly what you said, Pastor John, how, especially from a leadership perspective, because for me, more difficult to forgive the man who stabbed me 37 times, left me for dead, was to forgive a coworker who to me betrayed me, and yeah. a staff person. And it's the same process, but what I've found the difference between forgiving a betrayer, whether it's a person, a staff person or a leader, or even someone in the congregation, versus a stranger who attacked me, it's more difficult to forgive emotionally that betrayer because of closeness of proximity of relationship with than it was to forgive a random stranger that I don't ever have to see again. I don't have to have any interaction with. So it's a similar yeah. process. So for me, to kind of go back to your question, just kind of a little bit of a guide of how do you begin to forgive. I think I always tell people there's kind of two bookends that I kind of use to forgiveness. On one side, which I think is the starting place, is trusting God. Mm-hmm. And because you're going to have to entrust people to him. And if you can't trust him, it's going to be hard to entrust to him. Mm-hmm. And so for me, there was so much that needed to be entrusted, whether it's forgiving, a coworker or someone who was close that you felt that betrayal, or whether it's this attacker, you got to entrust God your future. That,
yeah.
If you don't trust him, you're going to begin to pursue this whole pursuit of justice or wanting your side of the story, your truth to come out, and you're wanting to be heard. And so much of forgiveness, especially the emotional component of forgiveness, is centered in trusting God and trusting that he sees, he knows, he's in control, he's sovereign. He's maybe has allowed something to happen and it's created pain, but I start with the trusting aspect, and that's the first part. And I think the finish line of forgiveness is, oftentimes people say, is it possible to forgive and forget? And I always talk about how, mentally, no, you're going to always be able to recall facts and stories and information. But biblically forgetting and biblically remembering more, I think it is actually the ultimate other bookend to forgiveness. And it's getting to a place where it's not that there's an absence of memory, but what has taken place, who has done it, is no longer controlling your race, your spiritual race, your spiritual growth, your health, your wholeness. It's no longer having that impact and effect. And that's how God forgives us, is when he remembers our sins no more. He's all knowing. He can sure recall it if he wants to. But he doesn't allow our past to influence or impact how we relate to him. We're still fully a son or daughter. We're still fully loved. We're fully cared for. And so those are the two kind of bookends, that trusting God, and then in the middle of that fight to forgive is the messy part. That's where there's some healing that needs to take place. There's sometimes if time has gone by and you didn't forgive quickly, you're going to have to do uprooting work of bitterness. And that's an entirely different process. And so, that's why I always refer to it as a fight. It's not a fair fight, and the enemy will the enemy will come and try to blindside you, trigger you with memories, take you backwards. I see so many pastors and leaders that because of a wound, they always say that they keep now sheep at such a distance from their lives because they don't want to be hurt again. And I understand that. And man, I empathize with that pain, but that's what Jesus did. And Jesus was betrayed by a very close, close confidant with Judas. And all throughout the scriptures, there's these betrayals in leadership that mm-hmm. I think also that are just really powerful examples of that we can draw from. How do we move forward from that?
No, that as you were talking, Pastor Kevin, I was thinking just about that. You know, you have Jesus who's betrayed with a kiss.
Yeah.
And he obviously, the kiss wasn't a fake kiss. It was a genuine, you know, love and affection for somebody that he knows is about to betray him. And yet you see the genuine love. And at the same time, he goes to a cross and brutally treated both by the politicians, the religious leaders, and the soldiers. And yet through all of it, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And it really, living in that place of forgiveness. I just want to ask you this question as well. So forgiving is one thing. Relationship is another. Because there may be a pastor that's watching and going, man, I've been lied. My reputation's been tarnished. People have done this or that. And we obviously forgive. Is there ever a place that you can go, I forgive, but I don't know if I want to continue to be a coworker. I don't know if I'm really in a place that, you know, relationship-wise, I've, you know, kind of gone through a certain amount and I've lacked the trust to be able to know that you're being forthright with me. So how do you navigate through that?
Yeah, and I think it's so important. I think it's one of those areas, too, that I don't know if we've really equipped the body of Christ, and sometimes even in ourselves, I don't know if we've really grasped it, but what you're talking about, forgiveness and reconciliation are two completely different things.
Amen.
Forgiveness is always as the one who's betrayed or been hurt or wounded. Forgiveness is on us as the victim or the offended. And that is our Ephesians 4:32, where we're to forgive just as God through Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And then Ephesians 5:1 tells us, therefore, go and be imitators. So we're to imitate God's forgiveness, you know, in that moment. So forgiveness is always one-sided. It's has nothing to do with the other person. There's nothing that that person can do that should really, as a believer, as a Christ follower, that really our forgiveness shouldn't hinge on anything that that person can or can't do. They can't undo what they've done, nor even when they apologize. Forgiveness is not based on an apology, but
Here's a good example of that. I've actually been with people standing over a grave and having to forgive. Well, you know, like there's no way that they can respond and go, well, I forgive you too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just to highlight that, and it's precisely what you're saying, that you may need to forgive somebody that's not even alive anymore, or you don't know how to contact them, but forgiveness is that depth of the heart. Yep. Amen?
It is. Yep. It is, absolutely. I mean, it's just like what you said, too, on the cross. There's so many times that even though they might be deceased, but the majority of the times, people have no idea to the extent of hurt and pain they've created in your life, and they just go on about living, and they have no idea. And so, again, it's like Jesus is the ultimate forgiver, the greatest example where he just says, listen, they don't even know what they're doing. But in my mind, I'm sitting here going, yeah, they do. They're crucifying you. They're putting nails. But it was deeper than that. I totally agree with you on that process. It's a battle.
Amen. So you mentioned this. You've obviously, it sounds like you. And let me just throw this in. Anybody who has been a pastor longer than 2 days, whether it's another leader, and it sounds like you had a situation with another pastor or coworker, or if it's people in the church, I had somebody that said to me, that sort of my mentor, and you know, when I was younger, said, you know, be careful when you go to a church. The first person to put their arm around you to just tell you how great you are, they're probably going to be the first ones to betray you. And, you know, I wouldn't say that that's been right every time,
sure.
But he was right more times than not. And so sometimes people that we lead can betray or hurt us. And it is this thing of going, man, I'm here pouring my heart out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to love people, help people. And you get this in response. If you don't have the ability to forgive and be able to have, I don't know if a thick skin is the word, but to not live in that place, man, it will take you out of ministry, correct?
And going back to, I lost train of thought there for a second. The second side, forgiveness is one side, the reconciliation is the second. And reconciliation takes two. So on my part, it's always forgiveness. That's my half of the bridge I got across.
Mm-hmm.
Their part now, if there's going to be a renewing of a relationship, their part is going to probably what I call start with probably a genuine, authentic apology, not just sorry, but it's a apology that also I think it recognizes and can communicate the depth of hurt or can see the impact their actions had. It's going to go in and again, own up to it, take full responsibility, because it's all going to lead back to, for there to be a reconciliation, trust is going to have to be restored. And for trust to be restored, it's going to begin with those authentic apologies and not, again, just the cheap, I'm sorry, or I didn't know, or I didn't mean what happened. But it's, they can clearly communicate again. I think sometimes the impact, the pain that's created, they can make those, share with them how they're going to do things differently, and they can ask for forgiveness, and then it flips it back into your side. Okay, am I going to forgive them or not? But I think as a Christ follower, we always have to, we're commanded and we've been instructed to be imitators and to live the forgiving life, just as much as we've been forgiven. But that record, like for example, I talked about being betrayed by someone close. I had two choices when it came to after I forgave him. Mm-hmm. I could either renew a relationship with him, which means you renew it from that day forward. It's not going back into how a relationship used to be. It's beginning it fresh from that point. It's like realigning a broken bone and saying, okay, we're going to realign ourselves into relationship and we're going to start from this day forward again. Or you release that relationship. And that's where you might have to put up some boundaries, and you might have to, and in that case, you know, through much prayer, some wisdom, directions, we release that relationship. Even though that person was dearly loved, we had a rich history, but we felt that through the course of everything that took place, though there's been genuine forgiveness, there really was never that ability to reestablish that trust through just that really that genuine, authentic, to really sense that there was that heartfelt apology, and just so that there can be that reconciliation moment where we renew that relationship. So we chose to not renew that relationship, but that person will contact me and email me and text me. So I'm still walking in love towards them, which is not a feeling, but love is showing them kindness, being patient to them, keeping no records of wrong. And so that's how you begin to cover an offense with love, even against those people that sometimes are very unlovable.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Pastor Kevin, this is such a needed conversation for pastors and leaders. Just recently, I was with a pastor, and there had been some issues that had happened to his family. And so he was in this place, but it was multiple times that he's having to forgive, and then there's apology, you forgive, and there's apology. Yeah. And you do that so many times, and I think that there's a place there that you can go, hey, I can forgive you, and I love you, and I'm not against you, and God has given me a heart to go, I completely forgive, you know, but now if you're saying we're going to be in ministry together, or hey, come over Saturday night for dinner, there can come a place that you go, hey, I wish you all the best. Yeah. Go and have a great life. But as far as my journey, I don't know that I can trust you to the place that we can be connected in that way. And for some pastors and leaders, that's just where we may get. But being making sure that in our hearts that there's nothing against them.
Yeah.
Like, it's really important, because forgiveness, and I want you to elaborate on this, because you have a ministry about forgiveness, but unforgiveness does more to damage us than the person that we're not forgiving. And what is the effects of unforgiveness when we decide to hold on to those things?
Yeah, I think Matthew 18 to me is one of the scariest verses in all of the Bible. And there's a part in Matthew 18 where it talks about how in the story about, you know, the one who's been forgiven much, and then he doesn't go and forgive the small debt that's against them. But it talks about that one who is not able to forgive just as he has been forgiven. And I think from leaders, it's always how we lead in the area of forgiveness is always remembering how much we've been forgiven. I think it's Charles Spurgeon said, if you want to learn about forgiving others, you go to the cross. If you want to learn about being forgiven, go to the cross. If you want to learn about forgiving others, hang out there for a while. And I think what happens is Amen. The longer you walk in Christian leadership and in pastoral ministry, it's going to sounds hard, but I can speak from my own experience. I felt like hanging around the cross was a little bit replaced by doing pastoral ministry, preparing sermons, meeting needs of people, counseling, outreaches. And what happens is you're serving, doing for so many people with all their best interests. There begins to be a little bit of a distance sometimes in our own relationship to the cross, which is really remembering how much we're forgiven, our forgiveness story. And so the guy in Matthew 18, he forgot how much he had been forgiven. And then when he doesn't forgive and imitate that same forgiveness towards someone who even owed him a less debt, the Bible says that he's handed over to the torturers or to the jailers. And I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever heard a pastor really preach on that. Because it's so funny, we just kind of want to skip over that real quickly. But then Jesus is really clear saying, if you don't fully forgive from the heart, this is what my Father will do to you. I mean, it's like he's going to treat you the same way. And so there is a handing over that takes place when we cannot forgive. And we don't. And forgiveness comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the mouth. It comes from the heart. And so I think that tormenting, one of the saddest stories in the Bible is the story of Ahithophel in Samuel, where it's talk about leadership and forgiveness. Is this man was a leader under David, King David, and David was like his pastor. And basically, at the end of the day, when Absalom tries to come and take the kingdom from David, Ahithophel jumps ship from David, goes on Team Absalom, and then begins to go on this course of destroying David's life to the point that he wants to go murder David. And when he can't and doesn't get the permission to go murder David, his life ends up with the final words of he went, put his house in order, and he hung himself. And he committed suicide. And you're like, why would a man commit suicide? And it's because he couldn't kill King David. And if you study that passage, you find out, again, David was, in a sense, was his pastor, a leader, someone up close. Ahithophel's son was one of David's mighty men. So his whole family was invested in David's life, in ministry, and the kingdom. And then, but what ultimately what happened was Ahithophel's granddaughter was Bathsheba. And I think what happened was Ahithophel, when his pastor, his leader, his mentor, the ones that his family has served, in a sense, betrays him. And when Ahithophel can't forgive, and then he can't enact revenge or get justice, in a sense, he begins to say life is no longer worth living. And I think in leadership, I think there's a lot of pastors that are teetering on ministry suicide. And it's because there is an inability to forgive, and there's still this something within them from the heart that wants, whether it's just truth to be spoken or the truth to come out, or whether it's for them to suffer, or they can't accept the fact that maybe they've experienced a little bit of a setback and they're watching this other person move forward. And now it's just creating this bitterness, and that cycle can take place. And, I think it's like 15 years after the offense, or 10 or 15 years after the offense, Ahithophel says, I can't do this no more. And he ends his life. And my experience with pastors, just like your heart is, Pastor John, is there's pastors that have been wounded in churches 10 and 15 years ago. There's been these betrayals of, again, board members or people in the congregation, staff members, and they've just carried those wounds, those memories, those hurts, and they're just as alive today as ever. And they're they're ministering from this place of woundedness that is still that God wants them to experience that full freedom. They're being tormented still. And I think that's a part of our mission is we want to see pastors just like you to become free from that past. And one of the greatest, when we went through some counseling, a counselor said this to us. He said, to undo trauma, wounds, and offenses created by another, wrongs created by another, you have to have an equal or greater experiential moment. And for us, what we discovered was that greater experiential moment is actually the forgiveness experience. And when you can walk through forgiveness and have a defining moment of forgiveness, it can overcome that trauma, those wrongs, and begin to help you now get unstuck from that past. But then that's when the fight begins, and you're going to have to keep trusting God and doing all that.
It can be a long process. I really believe what you're saying now, Pastor Kevin. I believe it's really ministering to people that are watching right now that have been betrayed, that have been hurt, and maybe some of that attaches itself. And the torment, I know sometimes if you read that, the torment is like they're going to go to hell one day. But the torment, no judgment on that either way, but the torment is the daily life of living with that unforgiveness. I would say to the church, there's a passage in the scripture where Jesus is talking to a man who I believe it's his son, is very ill. So Jesus says to the man, all things are possible. Do you believe? And the answer is, I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah. And you can apply the same thing to forgiveness, where you go, I forgive, help thou my unforgiveness, because it can be a process to forgive. I mean, forgiveness can be something where you go, I know in my mind and my heart I should forgive. This is still, it's hard to do ministry. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you're holding, like you really haven't let it go. And then you're walking up on Sunday morning to preach to people and you're carrying that. It's like a destructive weight and what it does to you and the ministry, because the Holy Spirit is constantly going to be going, you got to let that go. You have to let that go. So if we would close in prayer, and I want you to maybe give a last word to people that are watching, and then I want you to pray for them. But this whole understand, maybe people are watching, they go, I've tried, I know that I should, it's a barrier, but God, I'm putting this before you. Can you speak to them? Sure. And then I want you to pray for them. Yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah. What you just described, Pastor John, is really the fight to forgive. I think when you really dive into forgiveness, I think there'll be people who will say there's multiple levels of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I think level one is personal forgiveness. And that's where we can really, we make that intentional act where we say we will forgive this person. We make that decision. We're going to forgive them just as God has forgiven us. That can be void of feelings. That can be void of emotions. That is an experiential moment where you can sit there and say, and I think that's level one. What lags behind is the emotional forgiveness side of it all. And that's because you have those feelings, those emotions, the memories. And so oftentimes why I think the number one, I think of when the Bible tells us that offenses are going to come, and Jesus is talking to his disciples and he tells them, how many times do I got to keep forgiving them? And he's like, if someone sins against you, seven times, you forgive them every time. And their response was, Lord, increase my faith. because they couldn't see, how do I keep forgiving? How do I keep doing that? And what's amazing is in that part where he says, increase my faith. And he talks about, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could speak to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will be. And so I think it starts with that intentional act of forgiving, recognizing how much I've been forgiven, forgiving in that same manner. But then, what's going to have to happen? I think your talk is going to have to change. And so when he says, increase my faith, what Jesus says, speak to the mulberry tree. I think that's where you begin to pray for those who have mistreated you, bless those who have cursed you, do good to them, love your enemies. that part is the hard part. It's the uprooting work. And so if you find yourself, I forgive them, but emotionally I'm still suffering. And that word torment, when you study it, it's just, it's used all kinds of, and to me, it's not so much about the torment. The big picture there is this: you're handed over and you lose the protective covering of God in your life. You're handed over to the enemy now, to the jailers, to the oppression, and you're handed over to experience these things, whether it's emotional torment, all those things. And so to regain that part of that uprooting work is you begin in faith. Lord, I bless them. I've prayed for my betrayer and betrayers. And Dr. R.T. Kendall has mentored me in this, where he, I'll never forget when he looked at me and he said, I found that there's such a great blessing in betrayal that in my prayer book, I literally write down every person that I need to, I look forward to when I have to forgive someone, because I found when I begin praying blessings over them, God's favor is restored in my life. And that's how I feel like God has anointed me, and I get greater revelation in his word. And there's a great blessing that comes in forgiving. And so for all the leaders,
amen,
my encouragement is, one, you know, follow the word. Don't follow your feelings. Forgive, amen, just as, be imitators. And then from there, man, just begin speaking blessings. Begin to do those things and do that uprooting work, because over time, that healing will come. And the word of God can be, it's almost like it's applied to your wounds, and there's a treatment that he does. The Holy Spirit can come in, minister to your pain. And so my prayer is that every single pastor would really understand that God's anointing on their life is hinging on what they have done or not done, oftentimes from moments that have taken place even 10 and 15 and 20 years ago. And so I would love and be honored just to pray that God would just come and empower each leader and pastor to identify where is the root of unforgiveness. It might not be dealing with sister so-and-so now or this person now. It might be something, and usually is something that took place many, many years and possibly even decades ago that has never been fully forgiven from the heart. And now it's just been a pattern of just sweeping things under the rug, just trying to forge through in ministry. And so
it's like an onion, isn't it? Like peeling the layers. This is such a needed conversation. And just to say the pastors and leaders that are there, ministry can be hard. The serving others, doing for others, pouring your life out for others. And so when we find ourselves in this place, I think you said it, probably forgiving people that have wounded and hurt and done all manner of evil against you, and then the Bible says to bless them, it's probably the hardest thing to do as a believer. And at the same time, it probably has the greatest impact when you're able to forgive and let go and move forward. So,
amen,
man, pray. If you're out there and you're listening right now, I want you to agree with this prayer. Pastor Kevin's going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God to do a work of healing.
Amen. Father, thank you, first of all, for each leader, every pastor, God. They are truly a gift to the body of Christ. And I just pray, first of all, that you would just come and give them just supernatural strength right now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just begin to minister to each pastor, God, just as only you can. You're the counselor. And I pray that you would just begin to, even right now, just through the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to open their eyes, open their hearts to possibly where an offense has been harbored and kept, even if it's been something 5 or 10 years ago. It might be the story that they have retold over and over and over again, but it's not from a place of healing, but it's still from a place of woundedness, where they're still making decisions today on how they lead and how they pastor based on what someone did to them, God, man, 5 or 10 years ago. I pray that today would be a moment where they relationally can say with no doubt that they choose to make that decision to forgive just as God has forgiven them. That there will be a moment today that they would say, I forgive them. And God, I pray from that point of forgiveness now, they would begin to walk out the healing that they need, the emotional healing, as the word of God is applied to their lives. And they remember that, God, you work all things together for good, God, that you are the one who can come and take what the enemy and what others have done to them and meant for evil. You can turn it into the miraculous. You can turn it into good so that lives are benefiting today. I pray for every pastor today that they would understand that someone needs them. Just like those words rescued me, they still need you. May every pastor, through the power of the Spirit, God, hear those words, they still need you. And they need each pastor to be whole, free, healthy, and victorious. And I pray in the name of Jesus that your Spirit would enable them and empower them to forgive even the most unforgivable in those moments that they just feel like, they don't deserve it. But God, none of us deserve it. And we forgive anyways. And so we thank you for that moment. I pray your blessings upon these leaders and your pastors, World Challenge, Pastor John, Pastor Gary, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Kevin Ramsey, thanks for being with us today. We're going to come back and do a part two, and we're going to focus on teaching a church to walk in forgiveness, because so many times there's these difficulties in church. And so we're going to really focus on that in our next podcast. And I just want to say to you, share this, subscribe. We believe that this can be helpful to you and maybe friends that you have. And as well, I want to let you know the name of the ministry is Fight to Forgive. You can go there and support. You can also go to worldchallenge.org. We will take every dollar that you send. We'll send it straight on. We help to support some of the ministry that, that Pastor Kevin does to Death Row. And we are just excited about what God is doing in this area of forgiveness. I think it can be such a powerful thing when you come to that place and you just, in Jesus' name, let it go. Amen. We'll see you next week on Leader to Leader with Pastor John Bailey.